The title of the message this morning is Living Under Influence. And I wanted to try to do something cool with it, but I couldn't. There's a word for the way I wanted to actually present this, but I couldn't think of it. You know, when they put, like, if I was to write living and influence bigger and living underneath it, what's that word called? How do they, when, you know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about? Living under influence. Huh? I can't remember what it's called. I don't know that it's acronyms. I can't think of the name of it, so I just said, well, forget it. So I just didn't frustrate myself with it, but I wanted to put living under influence. But we didn't do that. So, and then they said, is it living under the influence? And I went, well, no, it's living under influence. But they said, oh, we thought we was having one of them churches this morning. Under the influence. And honestly, we could put it living under the influence. And before I get too involved in this, I want to read the definition of influence. Influence is the ability to affect others or events. Also, the experience of being affected by someone or something else. Living under influence. How many of you know that we live in a fallen world filled with fallen people? And see, if we're not careful, sometimes we forget that we have been rescued. Okay? Sometimes we forget we're supposed to be Christian. Sometimes we forget that we're supposed to act a certain way. Do a certain thing. And when we forget about that, we begin living under influence. Just hang on a minute. Because what will happen when we have an influence, and the influence that I'm talking about this morning, I don't know if this is going to go into a series or what it might do, but the influence that I'm talking to you about this morning is the influence that opposes Christ, the influence that opposes Holy Spirit, the influence that opposes Christendom or Christianity. So I'm talking about the influence of evil. I'm talking about the influence of carnality, of humanity, the influence that will sometimes reach its old nasty, long, and I just see long, skinny, blackened fingers with long fingernails that grasp you and pull you back into the state of where you were delivered from. Now, Christian people, we are saved. We are not bound to that influence. We are not slaves to that influence. But can I tell you this morning that, however, a lot of us, most of us, I'm certain 100% of us, have fallen back to the way of an evil influence. And sometimes this is brought on because of how we are affected by the influences. Have you ever been put in a place to where you were hurt so bad that it affected you? It influenced how you spoke. Yeah. It influenced how you acted. Yeah. It influenced how you thought. Yeah. Living under influence. Well, how many of you know that's hard? Do you understand how complicated it is to live under influence? Living under influence. See, just because you're Christian, just because you've been saved, just because you've been broke out of bondage, just because you've been delivered, doesn't mean that you won't be affected. I don't have to preach long this morning. I think that and a couple of scriptures and you ought to be set. Because what we do is we have this tendency to forget that we have been delivered. Because what Debbie was saying earlier, we begin to be distracted. And I no longer think of where I stand Christ-like. I now begin to think where I stand in my pain. And then I begin to refocus my thoughts, my heart. Oh, be careful to guard your heart. For out of it flows the issues of life. And it's not that if you control how your heart responds to things that it will cause everything to go away, because that's not how it works. What happens when we are able to respond from a pure heart, it allows us to be free from the It allows us to be free of the influence that is affecting our life, our thought, our daily life. Anybody ever just, you find yourself some days just not even living because of an influence? I don't know if I got the right crowd or not this morning. See, I find myself, even in the midst of battling influence, I have found myself responding out of a fallen state because of the influence. See, if you've never responded inappropriately, you've never been affected. You're better than I am. Because I walk through life with a limp because of the affected areas in my life. I know that I'm not exempt from being influenced. I know that I'm not to a place where I am so guarded by the Word of God that nothing penetrates my heart. And if you think you've arrived at that, you're better than Paul. I won't say you're better than Jesus. I'll just say you're better than Paul. Paul said, it's not that I've arrived. I ain't got there yet either. But what I have been able to do is forget those things behind me and reach, press forward. So I wonder how many of us have lived or are living in a state of influence. If God was to look down and pinpoint, what would He say? If God was to creep in and remind you of what it was that you did or how you reacted, would He be pleased? The harder question is, out of how you profess, would you be pleased by holding up that mark to yourself? And what I mean by that is, if you flip the mirror around and seen yourself as your mouth spoke, would you be impressed? This is about encouraging you and helping you in a moment or in a season of your life where you're finding yourself affected because of influence. Maybe someone said or someone done. Maybe maliciously, maybe not. But still, yet you find yourself in the midst of the influence, affected. Affected so much that it causes your prayer to go here or there. It causes your feeling or your thought to go yonder. Have you ever been there? Have you ever found yourself responding inappropriately because of your affected being due to influence? Living life. And not even so much living life, just living. But Pastor, how am I supposed to live? Because see, we were once dead in our trespasses. And then we met a man named Jesus that set us free. No longer dead, but alive in Him. Trying to live that life of freedom while we still experience influence. Anybody else struggle with living? I'm not talking about just waking up and doing your thing. I'm talking about, have you ever experienced living below your means? He said, if the Son sets you free, then you're free indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If we are free, why do we struggle with living?
Yeah, that's good.
Man, if you had a hard time sleeping last night, you might go to sleep, because I don't know that this is going to be a spitter.
That's okay.
See, I find myself like David. Search me. Make me. All because I find complication in living under influence. Although I don't want to be that one. Have you ever done something or said something and it just tasted bad when you said it? I mean, like, it really tasted bad. It just tasted bad. Yeah, and you go, man, I never knew that something could have so much power. That it would cause me to revert back to a fallen state. Not that I'm no longer a child of God. Not that I've now just punched my ticket for hell. I'm talking about being a child of God, being blood bought, but still having to live under influence, trying to figure out how do I overcome this fallen state in which I am being affected by. The Bible says, do not be conformed to this world, but yet be the transformed by the renewing of our minds. So if I'm allowing things and people to begin to operate and influence and affect my mind, my thought, my heart, my ways, I'm becoming conformed to. Not that I chose. But I fight the falling state of mankind in which I was born into. Do you know that we were born into trouble?
Yes.
You were born into trouble. Man, I wish that I could have had a choice before my mother and dad, whether it was in the back of a 57 Chevy or, oops, I don't really know, Miss Linda. I just know something happened, and here I am. If I would have had a moment or an opportunity where I could have said, God, listen, I'm not sure that I will be able to please you once I leave the presence of your holiness and I am found inside the state of sin and being born from flesh. I don't know that I will be able to please you in such a manner where you will be able to look at me at the end of time and say, well done. So if I could just come to you and just say, God, don't let me go. Send somebody else. Man, I wish I could have sat and negotiated that process. Because, see, I really check me now because I want to know what God thinks of me. And I check me now and I go, God, I have disappointed you. And if we aren't careful, we find ourselves fighting against influence from a fallen state. Y'all didn't catch that. Do you know it's harder to come out of trouble when all you think of is what you don't have to get out? Do you know how hard it is to think that you're healed when you're lying in sickness? What if the influence was so strong that it would cause you to repurpose? To repurpose your call. What if influence could be so heavy in your life that it could cause you to think you're not worthy? See, I have a problem that people preach that you're unworthy. You're not worthy of God's grace. What? God created me. My worth is in the eye of the Creator, not in the mouth of the betrayer. I am not because of what I did.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because of what he done.
Amen.
See, you are. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Ooh. Ooh, you are worthy.
Amen.
If you weren't, he wouldn't have died for you. If you weren't, he wouldn't have chosen you. You were his creation. And what I don't want us to see is that we find ourselves so affected by influence that it's hard for us to believe again. I ain't got much to say this morning. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to read 20 through 24 probably, Tommy. First Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. That you should follow his steps. I'm not trying to set a bar for you this morning. I'm trying to let you know that there is someone that we can... It's okay to be imitators of Christ.
Amen. That's right.
That you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judged righteously. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Man, if I left it to where the only mark that you and I would have would be Christ. How many of you know it's disappointing sometimes that we are compared to Christ? I thought you was a Christian. Well, are you comparing me to Christ? Or are you comparing me to others who followed Christ? Because I will never be as Christ. But yet he leaves us an example of what we should press towards. Not saying that we are condemned to hell if we miss the mark, sin. Because he died for that for you and I. He covered that. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. So he died for that. He covered that knowing. He died knowing that I was still going to sin even... Not that that gives us a permission or a license to sin, but we are to press toward the mark. But watching as Christ would be influenced, his response was never from the state of fallen. His response, his reactions, his thoughts would always come from a state of his glory, of his victory. Could you imagine how he must have felt in his walk under influence? Because you've got to understand, he was fully God and fully man. He was still affected by the influence But his response was different than mine and yours. Because, see, we would say eye for an eye. Hurt me, I hurt you. Talk about me, I talk about you. Have you ever been hurt so bad that to react in the manner in which you did was easy? Allowing bitterness to rise up, allowing hatred to rise. Have you ever been hurt so bad to where it's easy to do now? You lash out. But see, Jesus wasn't the only one that gives us examples in Scripture, and we could go from Genesis to Revelations, and we could be here for quite some time, but I'm going to bear us that and not put you through that. But there was a couple that jumped out to me that I would start to think about who else would live under influence in Scripture. And Job came to mind very quickly. Because see, sometimes influence will present itself in a haughty way and will just flat tell you, turn your back. Do away with God. Job's friends, everybody's telling him everything on why he's going through what he's going through. His own wife. Why don't you curse God and die? See, those are the familiar ideas of influence that you and I would think. People actually, they've got this influence in you in such a way that they come straight to you and tell you, just leave. Just walk away. Just give up. Just give in. This is why you have to be careful of the people that you allow to have influence in your life. Because if they're not given godly influence, I would steer clear the best way possible without being. I wonder what type of influence you struggle with. Another one would be Elijah. Elijah's influence came by way of fear. See, you think that you're not being influenced, but yet you begin to walk and understand things out of the position of fear. Well, if I do it the way Christ would want me to do it, if I'd done it the way Scripture says to outline my life in accordance with, I would find myself losing this, or I would lose that, or I would be without this, or I couldn't go here, and I couldn't. And we would have to deal with the influence through fear. I mean, you've got to remember Elijah's story. He just slaughtered 400 and some prophets. It's a bad dude. False prophets. He just prayed down fire from heaven on wet wood. We can't even pray a spark with dry wood. What in the world would a letter from a woman How in the world could a woman write? The Bible says that when he saw what was written, her her words was an influence through pictures. That's how powerful words can become. They begin to paint pictures. And as they begin to paint pictures in our life and in his life, it began to cause fear in his life. And he said, I've got to flee. A woman wrote a love note or a Dear John letter. She wrote a letter and it was handed to him, and he chose to run out of fear, causing him to want to repurpose his calling. He left from standing for God. He left from killing those that opposed God to now fleeing for his own life and saying, I just want to die. In the middle of his work, in the middle of his calls, willing to surrender, willing to take off the mantle. I just say, I'm done. See, you've never had to go through any of that. You don't really understand what it is to be chased by fear. Influence. It's got ways. I'm going to sit and I look at Jesus and he's even influenced. See, influence comes by way of hurt and pain and betrayal. And you find yourself having to fight through these issues of influence and not disregarding your purpose. Could you imagine if Jesus would have reacted the way that you and I react in certain circumstances of hurt and betrayal? Instead of him throwing stones back at Judas, he washed his feet. Instead of him just disregarding Peter, he came and restored Peter after Peter had denied him. Instead of him hanging on the cross and saying, I die for everyone except the other 11. Because they had hurt him and they had escaped. They weren't part of his pain. But yet he still chose to die for them. The same way he chose to die for you and I. Amen. We all are affected by influence. Where has influence taken you? What has influence caused you to respond with? To react with? Have you ever thought about any of this? Because we all are influenced. We all find ourselves in places of influence. And what do we do with it? Do we even give it a second thought? Or do we just automatically respond? Can I tell you that me? I've responded automatically. Can I tell you that me? I've responded with hatred. I know. I've responded ungodly like. I've responded from a fallen state. Pastor, this is not what I wanted this morning. Me either. I came this morning to release a word into your life. And this is that word. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him. And He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. That's scripture. That's not my poetic justice. It's Psalms 37, 5 through 6. Now, I do want to say this. Just because you follow and apply this word to your heart, it will not keep the attempt of influence out of your life. But it will guard your heart from the influence. Boy, haven't we all fallen short? Aren't we all in a place of being lost and empty without Christ? See, I don't know about you, but I'm tired of dying to influence. I want to live in Christ. See, I want to enjoy my day. I want to enjoy my time. I don't want to live out of a life of bitterness. I don't want to struggle through what time I have remaining on this earth from a battle of hatred. See, I too am trying to learn. To live my life out of love and compassion. I'm not knocking it over the fence, Joe. I'm not knocking the leather off the ball, Charlie. Every once in a while I get up to the plate because I'm faced with a fastball, and sometimes all I can do is bunt. Sometimes all I have done is bunt. Sometimes I've watched the ball come across the plate. Anybody ever got caught standing and watching? Anybody ever got put on the bench from watching? I should have swung. Have you ever been caught there? Been caught at half court 1 second and not taking the shot because you didn't believe that you could do it. What would have it hurt to try it?
Right.
Not too many people going to look down on you for shooting a ball from half court and missing. But many of them will praise you if you hit it. Oops. You said Virginia, and somebody scooted out from around their computer back there. Told you I didn't have much to say to you. And that's all I have to say to you. But I'm certain of this. You didn't sit here this morning without eating. If you left hungry this morning, it's because you chose to. Because I know that we all have fought. I know that we all have been living under influence. And it's hard. It's hard. You won't be perfect. You gonna mess this thing up. It's gonna be the muddiest cake that you ever did see, Miss Pat. That thing is gonna slump and fall. It's gonna be all over the place. Your sourdough bread ain't gonna rise.
Oh, say this is so.
Have y'all ever seen? That's just. I don't even want to eat nothing. That's why I don't like. Nope. Don't even offer it to me. I mean, you letting stuff set out in the heat and I just. No, I'm out. That's how sickness starts. So this morning, I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you. That while you're living under influence, that you consider Christ. Just consider. I'm not going to give you the old cliche, the one that just makes my skin crawl, because 99% of people in the world wear it and call themselves Christian, and it's got a WWJD. I want to smack you. Because I see that, and the same time I see you cussing a cashier. Yep. I see you not tipping a waitress. I see you flipping people off at red lights. I mean, and you got and your band is just a flashing. It's just nice and pretty. Everybody can see it. Yep. See, it only works good for others. Yeah. Come on. The Bible says it tastes sweet when you use it for somebody else. Yep. It tastes good, but when you have to eat it. Never read your Bible. It's in there. That's what Christians do. I want to feed you from my plate. Here, don't it taste good? Don't it taste? And then you go, well, why don't you take a bite? Mm-mm. Consider Jesus. And if it's too high of a mark, consider Job. I should have jumped on Peter. Consider Peter. He was influenced. I wonder if somebody wouldn't have come to him and said, hey, aren't you part of him? I don't believe that he would have ever denied Jesus. He would have lurked in the dark and watched. But he would have never said, by Facebook, by YouTube. I hope you're not sitting there quiet because you're trying to figure out where you're going to go to lunch because Pastor let us out early. I hope you're sitting there and considering how you respond and how you react to influence. I'm praying that you find yourself in the same state in which I found myself when God wanted to talk to me about influence and having to say, I'm sorry. And we can't really say that we didn't mean to say it because we said it. And if the Bible is true, and it is, the Bible says that out of the mouth, because of your abundance. So if my heart is full, it's eventually going to come out. Have you ever been pressed so much by influence that it's taken you to that point? Oh, you've tried. You've done the best you could do with what you have to do, and you still fail. Because the Bible says that the heart is utterly wicked. You think you're pure and clean, and you're having to carry this thing called your heart. And the Bible says it's wicked. The Bible even goes on to press us even more so and says, there's not one of you. That's good. No, not one. See, when Scripture was influenced by the Holy Spirit, it was influenced by the truth. That's why it's even more important that we should be in the face of God every day. So that we too could be influenced by truth. Maybe that'll be a second part of this. Living under influence. Because we've learned this morning that we react wrongly based on influence. Maybe we need to learn how we can respond rightly living under influence. Because see, if you live by the flesh or you walk by the flesh and not walk by the Spirit,